Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Who is that?
Who are you?
Who can it be now?
Who is he?
Who the hell are you?
All right, back here on OMF, over the last few weeks, we've had a mystery guest every day at 4 o'clock. Some of them we easily guessed, others we struggle with, and some we even embarrassed ourselves with because the answers were not even close to the person who actually was on there. One of them was Jackie Mack, who's always great, talking about anything. We thought it was Wendy Nix, if you remember, and we were totally wrong with this one, Fourier. She was great, though. So she comes on here, and she starts telling us these stories, and she's got unbelievable basketball stories. But the one that really got to us was Dennis Rodman calling her in the middle of the night.
I still deal with Dennis Rodman regularly. Last year when his documentary came out, I did the sit-down with him, his one sit-down in advance of that documentary. Dennis used to call me in the middle of the night at my home in Watertown when Mike and I were first married, usually inebriated. He would never remember calling me the next day. No, he has a terrible... He's an alcoholic. He's a recovering alcoholic. He's doing the best he can. But everything you see of him, this is the struggle he's having. When I first met Dennis Rodman, he was in jeans and sneakers. No piercings, no tattoos. He was just a kid from Southeast Oklahoma who didn't believe he was good as he was. He's never believed in himself. To me, it's one of the most tragic people I've ever been around. I adore him. I know this sounds crazy to people, because he's done bad things, but it's usually tied to alcohol. When he's been in treatment a number of times. Penny Marshall, the late Penny Marshall, tried to get him clean and sober. People have tried to help him, but you can't be helped if you don't believe in yourself. And it's very, very sad. When he's right, he's as kind, and he's got a good heart, and he was a phenomenal basketball player and a very smart basketball player,
yes,
too. People make the mistake of thinking he wasn't right. But listen, alcohol is a demon, and everyone knows that, and it makes people do really bad things and really dumb things and really regrettable things, and it's still a demon that is hounding Dennis Rodman, and I pray every time that I talk to him that he's sober and that he's good. And I talked to him a few weeks ago for the story I did regarding Scottie Pippen, and we had a really good conversation. He had made a very passionate argument supporting his friend Scottie Pippen. But, you know, 2 weeks from now, it could be a different conversation. It's a lifelong battle for him.
So what do you think that's like at 3:30 in the morning? And you're Jackie McMullen's husband, Mike. Mike's a great guy, terrific guy. And he's sitting there like the woman that comes down the stairs and says, "Who are you talking?" "I'm talking to Jake from State Farm." "Oh, yeah, what's Jake wearing right now?" State Farm. It's 3:30 in the morning. And she sits there and says, "It's Dennis Rodman, and he's drunk." Okay, so Rodman's been at some club, been doing something, some wild night or whatever. And where do you think he comes up with the idea that after having this wild night, and who knows, maybe somebody's still in his room with him, he decides on calling Jackie McMullen at 3:30 in the morning?
I think it's just one of those, it's like almost as if she was a strong mother figure for him.
Yeah.
Like he needed that. There was no, and I'm sure, you know, her husband, Mike, probably there was no threat whatsoever.
No.
It's like, oh, crap. He's probably like, oh, is it Dennis again? Just tell him to go to sleep it off, you know. I'm curious to know what they would talk about. So he calls at 3:30 in the morning. What does he want?
Stability.
What does he want? What does he say? Hey, I locked myself out of my house. Can you come pick me up from the club? I got into a fight. What does he want? Is he calling? Hey, I have something to tell you. Don't tell anybody. What is he? I wish we would have asked her. What did he actually ask you for? Like, what was it? He was just calling just because he was drunk dialing people?
Carmen Electra hung up on him. I don't know. Madonna hung up on him.
What should I do about Carmen? Madonna won't return my phone calls.
I think you're right, though. It probably looked at Jackie McMullen and said, you know what? Because it wasn't one of those dumb dials where you just screw up and you dial somebody by mistake, you know, a butt dial or whatever.
A call at 3:30 in the morning means one thing and one thing only. And it's relevant for Jackie Mac also.
what would that be?
You know what that is, and you know that I know that you know what that is.
That
let's
means
just leave
it's Chickabow Wow season.
I don't think that was a booty call. I do not believe that's what it was. I just don't. I think you hit on it. I think she was the one stable person that he's probably had conversations with over the years in which he said, I'm a mess right now. I am a complete disaster. I'm going to call Jackie Mac to the rescue. You brought up Brady and the comparison of Tom Brady to Michael Jordan, and she expounded on it.
Covering Brady all those years, as I did, and that's how I got to know you, Christian, was, you know, he used to call me on the way down to the practice facility. You'd have to get up early, and, I would see him in the locker room, and I'd just say, hey, can you give me, I was judicious, I didn't ask a bunch, can you give me, yeah, I'll call you at 7 a.m. on my way down, and, you know, that was an easy thing to do. He was gracious about it, did a lot, and then you win more Super Bowls. Everybody wants a piece of you.
Yeah.
There's no place you can go in peace. And I do see similarities to it. And also, the other similarity is when you get to the top, what happens? People want to tear you down. Unfortunately, it's human nature. I don't understand that part of human nature, but I've watched it happen to so many superstars. We want to build them up, and then people get tired of them, and they want to tear them down. And I think what happens is if you're Jordan or you're Brady, you get a little wounded because you've tried to be, you know, helpful and open with everybody, and then you start to close in, and you start to trust less people, and you also start to take control of your own narrative. And I think that's what Tom has done much more so than Michael did. I'll tell you a funny little thing. After I wrote this first person that I just told you about my experiences covering Michael Jordan, because I went down to Birmingham when he played baseball, and after I wrote that, I got a text from Stacey James from the Patriots who said, I thought you'd like to know, Tom called me to tell me that he wanted you to know he really liked your Jordan story. And I wonder why he liked it. I bet he really, really can relate to it.
So much so that I think I'm going to do a documentary series. I won't do 10 parts. I'll do 9. I'll be really clever about it because they go to 9 Super Bowls and I'll make it into 9. Did you notice in hearing people talk about it last week, we made our 2 cents known at the end of last week that it was too early. It doesn't make an awful lot of sense. I heard a lot of people, even national people, and nobody was sitting there gushing and saying, I haven't heard anybody say, this is going to be great. This is going to be terrific. This is going to be stuff we never got before.
With what? With the
national people. I didn't hear anybody sit there and say, boy, this is going to be great. Tom Brady has got a 9-part documentary series that's coming out next year. Now, unless he's going to reveal how pissed off he was, if he was, that Malcolm Butler didn't play in the Super Bowl against Philadelphia, where's the new information? Where's the new video? Where's anything that's going to be new?
It's just going to be just more of the same. There's not going to be a lot there. I'm not buying into it. If you want to talk to somebody, let's have a half an hour. It doesn't need to be an hour. Let's have basically 22 minutes of content, and let's do it all on Malcolm Butler. Let's do it all on the 3 weeks before the Super Bowl. Let's do that. That's the one I want to hear. I want to hear firsthand information.
Do you think you're going to hear any of that stuff?
Well, if you want to make a list of documentaries, 30 for 30s that you want done, that where you know you're going to get an honest answer, you're not going to get filtered answers, then yeah, that's the one I want to know. I want to know what the hell was going on.
But
what
I don't
were you
think,
guys thinking?
But I think you got the wrong premise.
Why were you crying?
But he's talked a lot. Malcolm Butler has talked a lot about during the week and basically saying he wasn't prepared.
He was pretty nice, though. He was high-grounding the hell out of that
He was high-grounded, but on the other hand, maybe he's telling the truth, and maybe that's where we're screwing up in all of this. But I was surprised that I didn't hear a bunch of the national people sitting there saying, oh, this is going to be great. Nine parts on Tom Brady. First of all, it is too soon. And second of all, we've all, and maybe we're a little different locally, we've seen it all, haven't we? We've seen all of this stuff. Where is there going to be anything that's going to be new in this unless Tom is willing to open up and say, you know what, Belichick and I were at each other's throat this time, that time, and the Malcolm Butler thing, unless he's willing to do that. Nope. You tell me where there's anything that's going to be interesting to anybody.
No, you know what would be more interesting? More mystery guest fallback questions.
We got a bunch of them. Roger Clemens and Mo Vaughn and Lawyer Malloy. We'll get to all of them. We'll get to your phone calls as well at 617-779-7937 right here on OMF. This hour brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, back here on OMF. It is a live program, believe it or not, here on Memorial Day. So we're doing it live, Christian and I are. Lou will be back tomorrow. He's finishing up his vacation. Before we get back to the best of the mystery guest over the last few weeks, huge TV numbers for the golf match yesterday, Champions for Charity. They averaged 5.8 million viewers. That was the most watched golf event in cable TV history.
Oh my God.
They hit a peak of 6.3 million viewers between 5:45 and 6 o'clock. So the most watched golf event in cable TV history. And there are a lot of events that are on the Golf Channel, on ESPN, on
TNT.
TNT. So other than CBS or NBC.
What does it compare to the Masters? So those weekend majors that happen Saturday and Sunday, what does it compare to those? What does it what does the Masters do? What did the Masters do last year? I'm just curious, you know, by comparison, you know, 6 million
viewers. Why do you throw that out there and then somebody has to go and do the work?
I learned from watching you. I learned from listening and watching you, Glenn. That is what you do every single day.
Let's see. The final round last year earned monster TV ratings. This was the 2019. That was Tiger Woods, right?
Mon, see if you can find it for me.
That is a 7.7 rating on Sunday morning. The second, However, due to the early start time, remember they did a different time. And so because of the start time, they had the second lowest Masters final round since 2004. Okay, the final round peaked at 215 to 230. Viewership spiked to a 12.1 as Tiger earned his fifth green jacket. It's not giving me the number of people. So
10.8 million.
What's that?
10.8 million for Tiger's final round in
the
Masters.
10.8 million. So double.
That's still pretty good. I mean, you're talking about cable, $7 million, $6 million for cable, $10 million for one of the biggest events when Tiger returned. I mean, those situations, those circumstances don't exist. I mean, that's impressive.
Well, NASCAR did this. Didn't they do it last weekend? They were down a little bit this weekend. People who had never watched the NASCAR race before sat there and said, okay, there's a reason I haven't watched one before.
There's a reason, I was wondering what all the fuss was about.
So Ryan watched his first golf event in his life.
Sure.
Never
did.
Seen a golf event before. He watched this thing yesterday. First time you ever watched a golf event, right?
Oh, yeah. Probably going to be the last time I ever watch a golf event, too. Like, I like sports. I enjoy watching sports.
But you're desperate.
I don't consider golf a sport, so I'm not going to sit down and invest time in it. But when you put in this situation, absolutely. I'll sit down.
I got a good movie for you. When you put David Spade and Rob Schneider together in a masterful movie, what could go wrong? Huh? The Wrong Missy. Go watch it.
I'm telling you, it's good. I know people are texting in acting like I oversold it, but I didn't. I didn't oversell it. Just don't be a jerk and don't hate on purpose. What else we got, Glennie?
Hold on. I'm looking at the text ripping your movie. They've already seen it, and they're ripping it.
Funny.
I don't know, Christian. You know what? I can't do it tonight.
You said
so maybe
do
tomorrow night, maybe Wednesday. Maybe I get a little extra free time on Thursday. Maybe I'll think about it. You know, maybe I'll watch it. I'm not sure I can do that.
Okay.
I'm not sure. All right. As we said, we're playing some of the great mystery guests that we've had, and there have been some terrific guests over the last few weeks. How about Roger Clemens? Now, we thought it was Wade Boggs, all three of us. We were convinced we had it right. And then, of course, Roger comes on and basically, you know, makes us sound like we're dummies. Turned out to be him. But we started talking about the Hall of Fame because he is getting closer, but it still doesn't look like he's going to get into the Hall of Fame. So I threw it out to him. Does it piss you off? Does it upset you that you might go by with your great career and not get elected into the Hall of Fame?
Well, it doesn't piss me off. I think after the first one or two years, it's pretty much been the same thing every year for us. So, I mean, it really doesn't control our world or anything like that. So, I mean, it's same answer. I mean, it's a press record and play. I have zero control over that stuff. So I can't, you know, you have no control. I know what I did. I know I had the great career I had. I know I did it right. And I went out and proved it. And I appreciate the guys that are voting, the ones that look at the facts. You can't control the other outside noise, nor would I. And bottom line, guys, is it's not somebody calling me a Hall of Famer is not going to make a difference in the great career I had one way or another. So. It's not going to change me as a person. It's not going to make a difference. You know, like I tell people, that's what I did. It's not who I am as a person. When you guys saw me on the mound, very tenacious, very into what I'm doing, that was instilled in me by my mother and my grandmother. I watched my mom work three. When my father passed away, I watched her raise six of us, work three jobs. So when I went to work, I went to work. And I wore that town, that city on my chest proud. And I had a lot of teammates that were counting on me to perform. And you wanted to perform for the fans. There's nothing worse, and I can tell you, driving home from Fenway, and you went out there and laid an egg, and you know all these people came to watch you work, and you didn't do your job. It's the worst feeling ever.
Interesting. It's a long answer for a guy that says it doesn't piss him off, huh?
You know, I would say even when you ask that question, I was like, okay, you can't have Roger Clemens on without asking him that question. And I would think initially I was like, oh man, he's probably going to lose it. But I think he's just become used to dealing with it and just owning it one way or the other. Because we ask him every time. He's been on at least three times. That was at least the second time for me. And he always answers the same thing. He never gets sick of it. I mean, I guess he can't. You know, and what do you say?
I've got to believe, though, when you've had as great a career as he's had, and it pisses you off that you're sitting there and they're not going to include you into this Hall of Fame. That's why I think eventually he and Barry Bonds are going to get into the Hall of Fame. I do. Because they were two of the greatest players ever in the game.
What about Mark McGwire? Because
Mark McGwire was, first of all, depended totally on power. So you could look at the steroid issue and you could say to yourself, well, clearly, if he didn't have the steroids, he wouldn't have the power. So then he's not the same player. I look at Barry Bonds, he's a 5-tool player. I look at Roger Clemens and I say, oh my God, you know, he's one of the all time great right handed pitchers of all time. And, you know, had Pedro not come along, and Pedro did it for a short period of time, but we would be talking about Roger Clemens or Cy Young as the greatest pitcher in Red Sox history, would we not? And Pedro did it in a short period of time, like Sandy Koufax. He was more dominant than Roger, but it was for a 5 or 6 year period.
Yeah, I just feel it's just interesting because initially I felt like he was so. Hey, it's one of those interviews where the handler says, listen, ask him anything you want but this. And this was always Hall of Fame, steroids, that whole thing. Just constantly chasing him around. And maybe he's coming to grips with it.
I'll tell you one thing about Roger Clemens that I'll give him credit for. So he was coming on to do the radio telethon, the Jimmy Fund radio telethon. And I've always said this about Roger. There are a bunch of stories behind the scenes of stuff that Roger has done. Kid didn't believe that it was actually Roger Clemens. He showed up one day in full uniform, so the kid would see him in full uniform. There are countless stories of stuff that Roger has done over there. And for that, I give him all the credit in the world. And a lot of it, he didn't want to get any credit for. He was just doing it because, you know, he felt it was the right thing to do. So we're doing the Jimmy Fund radio telethon, and the story breaks about the whole steroid issue. It just blew up that day. And so we knew we were getting Roger on. That morning, the story breaks. How many years ago was that? I don't know, 7, 8 years ago. But the story breaks longer than that. And we're trying to make a decision whether we're going to ask Roger about it, because this is the Jimmy Fund. It's for the Jimmy Fund. And we made the decision that it's pretty hard not to do it. And I think we actually tipped him off and said that, you know, we're going to ask you the question about today. And to his credit, because he was not going to balk out of coming on and doing some for the Jimmy Fund, he said, it's all fair game. Go ahead. And he let us do it. And I was the one that asked the question. And he went into long detail, and there were follow-ups to it. And he never, he answered it. He never got pissed off about it. And then we started talking about the Jimmy Fund right after that. And I'll give him credit for that, because a lot of guys, you know, they're sitting there, screw you, I'm coming on because, you know, you want me to come on and help a charity, and now you're going to ask me this question? But how would we have looked if we didn't, when it was breaking hours before? He had talked to nobody. And obviously that got great headlines everywhere because it was really his first response to it. But what would it have been like if we just didn't, and we avoided the question entirely?
No, I'm not saying he was willing to go there. Yeah, I'm not saying that you shouldn't ask it. I'm just saying it's just interesting how he has evolved. That's all. I just feel like he's evolved to the point where, I mean, I actually believe him. I actually believe him that he's like, you know what? Screw it. What do I care? It's not going to change my life. I don't need validation. I know I was one of the best, and everybody I went against knows I'm the best.
See, and that's what I think is going to happen to the media. I think they're going to be worn down to the point, okay, we believe that Bonds did it. We believe Clemens did it, but damn it, they're such great players. You got to put him in, and they end up putting him in. Mo Vaughn was a great player with the Red Sox and great for the media. He would challenge the media. He would go at us on a regular basis, and we loved it. But he never won here. And obviously, he leaves. He's dealing with a media and a fan base that's pissed off that the Red Sox had not won in 82 and 83 and 84 years, year after year after year. He leaves. The Red Sox win in 2004, but surprisingly, he felt relief.
After 95, you know, I won that, you know, won the MVP. And hell, and, you know, Albert and I could have each won it. It luckily went my way. But it gave me a certain amount of confidence when I walked around and I walked in the clubhouse. I knew guys were looking for me to lead. And we all enjoyed it. It was what it was supposed to be. And I couldn't imagine. Like, I couldn't imagine being on a championship team, playing in Fenway Park, walking around the city, you know, with that, able to have that flag back in your back pocket. But I had the flags in my back pocket anyway, because I even know now, just walking around and talking, I live in Florida now, you know, there's nothing but Yankee fans around here. The amount of trash that I get to talk to them now is just unfathomable. And I feel the relief. Even though I wasn't on the field the first championship they won in 2004, I felt the release of the stress and the tension and all that came off of me the same way. So I get to feel some of it also, and I walk very proudly about what the Boston Red Sox have become and what they are. And like I say this, you know, it's no knock on anybody else, but we got management now that wants to win. And when you have management and ownership that wants to win, you're going to have a better chance of winning.
Yeah, he's I love talking to older players when they have the ability to look back and kind of just think about the way things are. He was great, though. He was really good. Real honest. Real just, just a really neat guy to talk to.
That's why Brady should wait 20 years before he does the documentary, because you, 20 years later, you can say all of those things. You know, you can get them out of your system. You have a different view of it when you're looking from afar. And I totally agree with you. And I like talking to guys like that. When you go back 20 years or so and they're willing to sit there and talk about stuff where maybe at the time they weren't, because they were in a different position. Huh? They were in a different position. I love that guy. Mo Vaughn was so great.
No, what I really love is just how, you know, and I've heard this from everybody, how if there is one, he's always buying suits for everybody.
Yep.
If he knows somebody's in trouble or somebody's going to get heat, like, he's going to make sure the attention is on him.
Yep.
That's true leadership. I mean, it's really, man, you talk about feeling safe that this guy's going to take care of you. It's really impressive, because most guys can talk about it, but they really don't ever want to do it. This guy did both.
So that was one of the great qualities of Mo Vaughn. He would take the pressure off of Nomar, because Nomar was starting to lose it and couldn't deal with the media. Mo didn't give a rat's ass. Mo would sit there and be able to take. And you're right. If another guy was getting some heat because he didn't play well in a game or whatever, Mo in front of his locker would say something outrageous just to get the attention away. And he talked about it.
I just thought that it was something that I was able to do. It's not easy. It wasn't easy. It wasn't, you know, easy to do. But I knew it didn't help if I got to throw Nomar in front of the camera, knowing that that's not his thing, or a pitcher, or, you know, maybe I'd say something crazy when I knew it was, you know, somebody else was going to get, you know, hit a little bit harder, and I knew it was really going to affect him in a negative way. I'd say something else just to put the pressure back on the guys that could take it. But it just, you know, I came up with a lot of guys. I was raised by some of the, you know, the Roger Clemens and the Tony Peñas and some of the other guys in the, you know, Ellis Burks, you know, even, you know, Mike Greenwood and I became great friends when it was over. And this was what was part of what was going on and what you had to deal with. And if you could take the pressure off of guys that, you know, it was really going to affect, that's going to help your ball club.
Best part about it is we all knew he was doing it, and yet he got away with it. We got away with it.
Yeah, those are scenes from something you see out of a movie, right? The guy sees his buddy in trouble, then he starts, starting a fight or something like that, just so his buddy can escape. You know, you keep running, don't look back. You know, flips over the Gatorade table and, you know, starts yelling and screaming at everybody. Picks a fight with somebody. I love that type of stuff.
All right, one of our favorites was Lawyer Malloy. He was always been great, always been a terrific interview, and he was great. We had him on a couple of weeks ago. So he got into the whole deal about Bill Belichick. So Belichick, if you don't know the story, trades him away to the Buffalo Bills the first week of the season. They're a week away from opening up against the Buffalo Bills in 2002, and he gets rid of him. Okay, trades him to Buffalo, and Lawyer told us what happened behind the scenes.
I don't know if I've ever heard your just thoughts of how that all went down. I think it was surprising to everybody, Patriots fans. I think Christian was even surprised, like going to Buffalo.
Yeah. So it was obviously a pivotal part of my life, my career. When you're dedicated for so many years, I was there 7 years, helped really build it from the ground up to ultimately being a champion. I think I had went to my fourth Pro Bowl in 5 years, and then I was given an ultimatum, either take a pay cut or leave it. And that was up to discussion. I had good representation with Carl Poston. Went through the whole offseason, and the last time I talked to Bill was in June, right before the veteran cuts, where you can go out and seek another team. And we had a discussion, and he said, basically, the worst case scenario is you play out this year, and then we have to, you know, revisit after season. So I, you know, me and my representation was in agreement with that. And the Friday after the last preseason game, he pulls me into the office and gives me the same ultimatum and says I have to Monday to think about it. So guys get released or have these situations come up all the time. It was just the way he handled it, you know, trying to, you know, wait to the Monday before the first game, which really disgusted me. But looking back on it from a business standpoint, you know, obviously you're trying to get the most competitive roster that you can and keep that salary down. And I understand that part of it. It was just more the way he did it.
He disgusted me. And, of course, you know, because you were on the Patriots, you were there that week. And you guys lost to Lawyer Malloy and the Buffalo Bills 31-0.
You want to tell me what the score was of that the next time we played them?
31-0 was the rematch, and you guys won. You got over it. But that week sounded like, and talking to both of you guys doing that interview, hearing your version of it, being in the locker room in New England, and him now being out and all of the bleep hitting the fan. What an unbelievable week.
Yeah, it was crazy because the other thing was that it was just listening to him talk about how disgusted he was, right? So they bring in Rodney Harrison, which is basically a safety net. So they probably already know that they can't keep Lawyer because Lawyer wants more money. But they already brought in Rodney Harrison, who some would say is a better, strong safety. Whatever, they were both really good. So they bring him in, and at the time I was like, there's no way we're keeping both these guys. In my head, I'm like, there's no way we could be that lucky to have Rodney and Lawyer? No way. One of them's got to go. And since Rodney was first, I just had a feeling that something was going to happen, but you never really know. So sure enough, they wait. And any NFL football player will tell you, you know, you hate that idea that they wait, they make that final cut, and everybody's roster is already set. Now you have nowhere to go. So it's almost like they slow play it on purpose because then you start realizing that, hell, the odds are, hey, I should just take less money because if I'm a free agent, I won't get half of that.
Right.
And then I'll have to go to another team, uproot my family, and this becomes more of a burden. So most guys sit there, if they slow play it like that, they end up getting the crappy end of the stick.
All right, before we go to the break, I want to get Lawyer Malloy talking about, because eventually he did get an opportunity to talk with Bill.
Have you talked to Bill since that departure? Where are you at now, your feelings about the New England Patriots?
Yeah, it took me a while to even mention the Patriots because of the way, you know, the way it went down. We talked about that earlier. But I think with social media ramping up in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, the way it has, me being able to know how to use social media, it was really the fans on Twitter and Instagram, the Patriot fans that's reached out to me, you know, via social media to really say, hey, I can't deny, you know, where I started, what I helped build. Every time, even in my hometown of Seattle, you know, if I say my name, you know, the first team that they equate that to is the Patriots. So probably about 4 or 5 years ago, you know, I said, hey, look, I need to nip this thing in the bud and you know, go try to get some more closure. And I started that process about, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, and surprisingly was welcomed with open arms with Belichick. I think he's changed over the years. Christian, you probably can attest to that. He's willing to have the small talk kind of conversations. He's smiling a little bit more. Maybe it's the young girlfriend he has now, but everything kind of just aligned up for me to kind of go back and, you know.
Yeah.
He's got that young girlfriend now. That changes everything.
Yeah, he's willing to talk.
4 or 5 years ago, first time that he'd been able to mend fences with Bill Belichick. Unbelievable. We'll have some more from some of the mystery guests that we've had over the last few weeks. And we'll get to your phone calls as well at 617-779-7937. We are live here on Memorial Day. You are looking live.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I was at Woodstock. Good time, Woodstock, by the way.
I bet. Do you remember any of it?
Yeah, it was rainy.
Did you hook up with anybody? Come on, be honest. Did you get some?
Yes.
You walk around with some flower child, be like, "Yeah, man, let's do some
flower child.
Let's do some drugs." How much drugs did you do then?
A little bit, not a little weed, but not.
I'm a serious actor. I can't. It'll open your mind, man. I'll try just one puff.
All I remember is it was about 15 hours to get there because of the traffic. It was so bad, it was ridiculous.
What a nightmare!
Yeah. Now we're playing for the mystery guest, and two of them that we brought up are Mo Vaughn and Roger Clemens. And if I remember correctly, Danny from Quincy used to hate Mo Vaughn and Roger Clemens. You still hate them, Danny?
The only thing that's changed, Glenn, is the fact that you are working on Memorial Day.
That's a good point.
That never would have happened back in those days.
Well, we got some people right now that are kind of laid off. So
yeah, that's fine. We got a
skeleton crew right now, as you know, Danny.
Do me a favor. Get rid of Red Sox replay and Maniansky faking it like it's a live game. Please. That is brutal. Brutal. Bring back some live. Pay somebody to come in there and talk sports. Will you please get rid of it? Anyways, Glenn, and by the way, honorable mention to all the vets out there who fought and died and served, and the ones that are still living. God bless you. My dad landed in France, fought in the Battle of the Bulge, and he was taken POW by the Germans. My mom was a World War II bride, and she just passed away. You know what I mean?
Well, sorry to hear that. Those are the heroes, Danny. Those are the people that allow us to do all the crap we do today.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, brother. I mean, my dad had some unbelievable stories. I mean, and I got them all right upstairs in my head. Anyways, Glenn, nothing personal, but, you know, remember the late, great Jack from Lynn? He created the GGOH Club. That was Get Greenwell Out of Here. Yep. Remember that?
I do.
And then I bought two franchises from him. GMOH was Get Mo Out of Here, and GCOH, Get Clemens Out of Here.
So you haven't changed. You haven't changed on your views. You haven't softened in your old age.
Remember that, right?
Yes, I do.
You carried the water. I mean, did you you carry both of their water?
Yeah, well, I thought they were both great players. So I loved Mo. I thought Mo was a great player, great hitter. And as we pointed out in the interview, I think he took a lot of pressure off some of those other guys, especially Nomar. I think he took a lot of pressure off Nomar. Nomar would have been gone out of here, I think, 3 years earlier had Mo not taken some of the pressure. And Roger was a great pitcher until he finally decided that he wanted to move closer to Houston, and he decided on going to Toronto, which was pretty stupid.
Right. Well, you remember the arguments we got into. But, I mean, Mo Vaughn, what did he go, 0-13 in that Cleveland series? I mean, come on. And then it was the games coming to me speech that he had on your station. I'll never forget it. And nothing personal. He seems like a good guy. And,
great guy.
Yeah, I got nothing personal, but man, boy, did I hate those two. I couldn't wait for them to get out of here. And by the way, Duquette, I mean, there was a battle going on, Glenn. You remember that. The media hated Duquette. Mo was on your side. Mo was on against Duquette, and Clemens was the same way. So,
some things never change, Danny, right?
Clemens, I'll never forgive him for that. But
some things never change, Danny. It's just different people. It's all the same battles. Right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
you've seen it, Christian. It's all the same battles. It's just the names change, you know? So we have similar situation today in sports, all right? There are all these battles. Just different people.
As far as Brady goes, playing golf, I mean, you know something? You know, the thing that bothers me about players who devote their time to raise money from charity, for charity, why don't you just forget the golf and give money away? Give the money to charity.
Well, they do. A lot of these guys do.
Why can't you have fun at the same time? That's kind of the fun of it.
But they're not giving any. They're not matching dollars.
Well, you don't know that.
The only one that gave any money away was Drew Brees. He gave $5 million to the state of Louisiana for what they went through with Corona.
He did, but you don't know.
Any of these athletes giving any money away. The celebrity, the songwriters, the musicians, they sing for like 3 days. Great. And the people, and other people pay. Brady hasn't donated 1 cent. At all, out of his money.
I don't know
by
that.
By the way, did he...
Do you know that? You don't know that.
Well, you would have heard it.
Why?
You would have heard it.
Why?
Right?
No, not necessarily. No.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they were offered something in this deal, and they took that money and they turned it back into the chair. I have no idea. I don't think you do either. I mean, we can't have it both ways, Danny. When a guy sits there and pounds his chest... And he starts talking about, oh, I gave this amount of money, and I gave this, and I gave this. We all sit there and say, well, why don't you do that quietly? What are you showboating for? And then, you know, so then when a guy doesn't sit there and pound his chest, we're sitting there going, he doesn't give anything. All he's doing is giving up his time. To me, it's crazy. I mean, he's giving up his time. He's also, who knows whether he's giving up money or not? I don't know that. He lost a pair of pants, I can tell you that. What's the pants worth right now?
The pants. They should auction those off.
The pants? This is Adam Schefter. Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning versus Mickelson and Brady, the match. The four legends will square off in an 18-hole match, make a combined $10 million donation. They made a combined $10 million donation.
Well, there you go.
To COVID-19 relief efforts. They made a combined $10 million.
And him so and Giselle is, also donated 750,000 meals. Brady's doing his part in this.
I was going to say, what is Brady not doing?
To feeding Tampa Bay, by the way.
Are they feeding people down there? They're not feeding people in New England?
He moved on.
Okay, that's a sore spot then, Tyler.
He's not responsible for Boston anymore. That's the thing. He's like, he left and he passed the torch on to Julian. So Julian's in charge now.
Before we play another person here, another mystery guest that we had on, I noticed that there were a bunch of people that are prominent people here in New England that were kind of enjoying how Brady was struggling in the first the six holes before he had that little the chip shot that just found its way into the cup. Do you believe that if Brady struggles in Tampa Bay, right, you don't think it's going to happen, Christian. You think he's going to be great. Let's take the total different premise that if he struggles in New England, you don't think there are going to be people out there that are going to kind of dump all over him and suddenly, I don't care what the Patriots are doing, latch on back with the New England Patriots?
Cliff.
No, do I think people will take a lot of pleasure in his pain? Is that the question?
Yeah.
Of course. Yesterday was just fun, you know, good old-fashioned ribbing, right? You know, the old guy, you know, you can't figure it out. A lot of people can relate to that. But almost no one can relate to him playing football, being the quarterback, struggling as a quarterback, what that's like, how tough it is to dig yourself out of that hole. We can all relate to what it's like in golf.
But it happens to everyone.
You know why, Glenn? Here's the thing. So these are just jokes. And, you know, it's like, oh, so already Brady's 0-1 without Bill.
That was just the joke.
It's just a joke. Yeah. But my point is, that is what you're going to get. That was just easy, low-hanging fruit, that one, with this golf deal. But they're going to rip him. They're going to continually compare him. And I would say that Bill has the tougher task based on what he's dealing with, and Brady has an easier task. So if Brady only wins 8 or 9 games and Bill wins 8 or 9 games, people would say, Bill did a better job. Obviously, even though it's only 8 wins, but with that squad and those limitations, people don't expect much from him.
Yeah, see, I still don't think you can take the last 20 years and recreate history and suddenly say, if Bill Belichick does better than expected this year, and Tom Brady does worse than expected this year, and suddenly say, oh, see, it was all about Belichick. It wasn't about Brady. That's garbage. That really is. I think people are going to do it. You and I have had this conversation before with Lou, and we've gone over this. I think people will do it. I'm just saying it's foolish to do it. It may just be that Tom Brady has finally hit a legitimate 43 years of age and can't do it, or that the Tampa Bay Bucs are an overrated team. Maybe the offensive line is not good. Maybe the defense does suck. Maybe they're just not that good. Is that a possibility? And that Brady goes in there, Brady's okay for a 43-year-old quarterback, but the rest of the team sucks. They're not good enough. I mean, is that possible? And with Belichick, I could see him winning 8, 9, or 10 games. I don't see him winning 6, as Lou says, unless the quarterback is a total, complete freaking disaster. Because I just think there's still too many good football players on that team, and football players that know how to win. It's not just all about Brady. I keep on hearing guys like Mark James sit there and say, well, Brady corrects all the errors, all the errors. I'm not saying that Brady doesn't correct some of the errors. I think that's partially true. He doesn't correct all of the errors. He just doesn't do that. He's not capable of doing that. Certainly, you know, he doesn't play defense. He only plays half of the time. So, but I think anybody to use that next year, either way, and try to reinvent the last 20 years, it's just foolish. But well, you're right, people are going to do it.
They're going to do it. They can do it. But based on everything that we've already seen, you know they're going to do it. That's definitely going to happen. So, and I'm going to enjoy it because it's fun to kind of dissect everything that goes on. It's fun to dissect the bogus stories, the lack of sources. They're all opinions, theories. You know, somehow they incorporate facts into them, which I just don't ever know how they do. They can just get away with it.
Talking about
they try
facts?
To
yeah. Real facts. All right, we got more of the best of the. Mystery guest. We're also going to get to your phone calls at 617-779-7937. We got an hour to go. We're going 30 minutes commercial free, and we're only gone for 1 minute. We take a 1 minute break. We will be back here in 60 seconds. We're doing it all from our Shaw's and Star Market WEEI home studios.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.